No, so I said to her, I said, look, love, if you're going to park there, you will expect me to drive in the back of you because I'm a very bad driver. Well, she said she was going to call our insurance people. Yeah. Oh, hang on. Sorry, mate. No, just someone here. Hold on. What's it? Oh, it's not been 2 weeks already, has it? Oh, for crying out loud. I've got to go, mate. No, it's the podcast. I've got to do the podcast. Yes, I'm still doing it. Four. I've got four listeners. Look, don't give me hard time. Look, it's a passion project. Just, look, I'm going anyway. I've got to do this crappy podcast. Just, I'll speak to you later.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me, my trusty old Red Rider Carbine Action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. Here comes the interactive bit. How have you been? I know I do. Yeah. No, I thought I'd say, how have you been instead of how are you? I just thought it'd be different. But let's not get into that. No, just, oh goodness. It's the same, isn't it? How have you been? It's the same as how are you? All right, forget it. No interactive bit. If you're going to be like that, forget it. Right, that's it. Fine. Thanks. Thanks for nothing. And scene. How was that one? All right? Nah. Okay, so I've got a few things to talk about. First up, I've been ill. I've been rotten. Juno came home from nursery on, was it last Thursday? Yeah, last Thursday. They sent her home early because she'd been being sick. So she's sick all the rest of the day. She was fine the next morning. A day later, Robin comes down with it. She was rotten. Couldn't go to school. Being sick. Actually, that was the weekend, wasn't it? So she's been sick all weekend. Couldn't go to school on the Monday or the Tuesday. She wasn't good with it either. She's whinging like you wouldn't believe. And then she's better. Guess what happens? I come down with it. I don't want to go into the details, but, you know, it was coming at one end. And also, I was sick as well. And the weird thing is, I don't, because I'm a gardener and I'm outside and like all weathers, I tend not to get that ill. But it just, I got it. And you know what? The wife, Carla, fine and dandy. She's been fine the whole time. Anyway, this show's going to be a little bit shorter because I've been so rotten this week. I just haven't really been up to it. I'm lucky I'm recording this a day before it goes out live, so I've got to get it all edited and everything. So, and the editing process is about 10 hours because I ramble so much. So yeah, this is going to be a short one because I've been ill. Thanks for your sympathy. I got a lovely email from our Total Christmas Podcast self-appointed workshop elf. That's Dan Carlson, and he chatted about rum, and we've talked a little bit about that. But at the end of the email, he said, also, with July quickly approaching, well, it's here now, I was thinking about all the Christmas in July stuff that we start hearing about this time of year here in the States. It's usually just an excuse for retail stores to blast sales ads. There are other Christmas in July things that happen as well, however. For instance, we have a local professional baseball team here that has a Christmas in July game every year. They play Christmas music in the stadium and even have a surfing Santa that walks around in a Hawaiian shirt handing out toys to kids. So I was wondering, do you guys have anything like this, and how did Christmas in July get started anyway? Are there festivals or parades in July like there are in December? Just wondering. Well, I can't lie to you, I don't know a massive amount about the history and I haven't had a chance to research it yet. So what I will do is, for the next episode, I will talk a little bit about Christmas in July, although I do think there are other Christmas podcasts that might have covered that. But anyway, I'll give my twist on the subject. But with regards to Christmas in July in the UK, I can tell you that when it comes to Christmas in July in the UK, it is completely non-existent. I don't think I'd heard of it at all until maybe hearing it on like a podcast, an American podcast as well at that. No, you don't see anything anywhere. I'm guessing there must be small pockets of people that might do a Christmas in July type thing, but sadly, no, don't see anything on TV about it. You don't see like in the shops, you don't see anything. No festivals, no parades. Bugger all is what I'm saying. Bugger all. Nothing. That means nothing, just so you know. It's a rude way of saying nothing. Why did I have to lower the tone with that? I'm not here to lower the tone. I'm here to raise the tone. You'd think, wouldn't you? So, yeah, Dan, that's how it stands in the UK. We don't really have Christmas in July, but I know it's a thing, and I will be talking about it in the next episode. Just a little one. I want to say a big thank you to Bob Baker. He sent a lovely gift box for me and the girls. It was wonderful. He sent a Christmas ornament, a decoration to go on the tree of a little tiki bar, which is cool. He sent a card, of course, and he also sent me a bowl, like a cup bowl for drinking rum cocktails out of, and he sent some little bracelets and some garland leis, you know, the Hawaiian leis, the flower garlands. So yeah, I want to say a massive thank you. The girls were made up. I've sent them an email saying thank you with a video of the girls, but I just wanted to mention it to you guys as well, just to know what a great gentleman Bob Baker, our self-appointed podcast barman, is. And I really, really do appreciate that, Bob. Thank you. He'll be coming up later in the show. Before we start the show, one other thing. The response when I mentioned my Batman film that I recorded about 5 years ago. Holy crud. 5 years. Where did that time go? I recorded 5 years ago. Yeah, the response was two people emailed saying they were interested in seeing it. I didn't even reply to them, which is really rude. I was expecting loads more people to reply. I was going to chuck something up on Facebook. Two people. You should be ashamed of yourself if you're not one of those two people. I tell you, they were. It was Tony Dixon and our anonymous technology correspondent. So, yeah, I suppose I should send those guys a link to the film. But the rest of you, clearly, you're not interested in seeing my Batman film. Well, I don't know what to say to that. That's it for housekeeping. So I suppose we should start the show, shall we? Are you ready? Strap yourself in, ladies and gentlemen, because here we go.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Haven't done one of these for a little while, have we? No, this is our Christmas not so classic. Now, a couple of years ago, it probably was a couple of years ago actually, I did one of Cliff Richard's songs. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Cliff Richard, he never really made it over the pond. He's fairly popular in Australia and parts of Europe, but never made it massive in the States. He had a couple of hits in the 60s or 70s actually, I think, but he is one of the biggest selling artists from the UK. I think in the UK he is the biggest selling solo artist. Yeah, more so than Elton John actually. I think Elton John's the biggest selling globally, but Cliff Richard is the biggest selling from the UK in the UK. Now, I covered one of his songs. It was Together for Christmas, which I'm a bit of a fan of. It doesn't get any airplay these days. He's had two Christmas number ones. One was Mistletoe and Wine. Which was the biggest selling song of that year when it came out in 1988, and it spent like 3 or 4 weeks at number one. That still gets a lot of airplay to this day, and it's frequently voted as the worst Christmas song. Then he had another number one, Christmas number one, 2 years later with On a Saviour's Day. And that wasn't quite such a big hit. Nice song, and it doesn't get as much airplay. I'd probably say less than 10% of the airplay that Mistletoe and Wine gets. Maybe less than that, actually. Yeah. But after that, every year would release his Christmas single. Now, they weren't all Christmas singles, but he'd release them at Christmas. That would be his attempt to try and get a number one. Now, Cliff Richard has the unmatched record for having number ones in 5 consecutive decades. He had a number one in the 50s, he had a number of number ones in the 60s, the 70s, 80s, and the 90s. His last number one was in 1999, and it was the Millennium Prayer. Now, if you're not familiar with the Millennium Prayer, then you should be grateful, because it was something. Goodness me. It was him singing the Lord's Prayer to the tune of Auld Lang Syne. It was like he did it just before the millennium. I'll play a little bit of it for you, but it's only going to be a little bit.
Oh, Father, who art in heaven,
That actually made it to number one. And actually got to number two in Australia as well, and number two in New Zealand. So, yeah, well done, Cliff. Now, after then, he was trying to get his first number one of the noughties, and this was the closest he got. This song is called 21st Century Christmas, and it is about Christmas in the 21st century. I'll play a little bit for you.
The satellite's tracking Santa. We text our Christmas list and leave our mobile numbers to help our old Saint Nick. Sometimes we stop and wonder, has that old bubble burst? Or will this Christmas morning be like the first button?
Now, the song was released on the 11th of December 2006, and it was written by two gentlemen by the names of Ralph Murray and Paul Brady. I had a look into some of the other stuff they'd written and that, but I didn't really recognise much of it, so not really worth mentioning. If they're listening, they're not going to think they're not worth mentioning. They're going to think, well, I think you could mention us a bit more than that. But as far as I know, this is their biggest hit.
But tonight we'll still thank Bethlehem and bless the Lord for love again.
Now, I was looking for it on YouTube, this song, and I kept finding this live clip, but I couldn't find the official video until I looked into it and I realised, oh, this live clip actually is the video, which is really strange because it's not a particularly good video. He's got his backing singers there and they're all a bunch of middle-aged men. I think there's one girl who looks a lot younger and quite attractive, but the blokes are all in their like black and white suits, and they are literally, and I say middle-aged, they're like possibly older than me, most of them. And then you've got Cliff dancing around at the front. For those of you that aren't familiar with Cliff Richard, he is a real national treasure in the UK. He started off in the 50s with a band called The Shadows. It was Cliff Richard and The Shadows. Then he went solo. He was in a couple of films as well. He was a real teenage heartthrob, and he was sort of our version of Elvis. His longevity is incredible. They used to call him, probably still do, the Peter Pan of pop, because he didn't seem to age. He still looked really young, and he was having hits, like I say, all the way since the 50s into the 90s. Of course, like I said, having number ones in 1999. So yeah, and he's widely loved. This video, he's not a young man, you know, when this is. He would have been 66 when this came out. So you've got him there on stage and he's looking quite sweaty, actually. He really is, yeah, looking a little bit sweaty, running around and dancing and singing and, yeah, well, singing the song, I guess that makes sense. And I sort of feel like maybe they should have put more effort into the video. Might have got a bit more airplay. To be honest, he wasn't one of the darlings of MTV. I don't think his video would have got much airplay anywhere anyway, because he wasn't getting the radio airplay either. It was a lot of his fans were still buying his singles.
Gonna have a first night star, right, child of light, so right, 21st century Christmas. We got a magic wand, child is born, sick and warm, 21st century
won't lie to you, it came out 16 years ago. I don't know if I've ever heard it up until when I started doing the research for it. I don't know. I must have heard it. It's probably in the background somewhere, but I don't think, it's never actually registered with me that this is Cliff Richard's song. So the song is about a 21st century Christmas, and I'm going to read out the bits that are about a 21st century Christmas. So it says, the satellite's tracking Santa, we text our Christmas list, we leave our mobile numbers to help our old Saint Nick. That's the first verse. And then in the second verse it says, we'll microwave some popcorn, put on a DVD, we'll fax Tiny Tim a thank you for blessing you and me. They sort of blew it at the end there, didn't they? I get it, you know, texting, giving our mobile numbers. Yeah, well done. Satellite, yeah, that's 21st century, and it was also in the 20th, but that's fine. Microwave, yeah, that's good. DVD, very good. Yeah, fax. We're faxing Tiny Tim, are we? No. It's the 21st century, mate. People probably were still faxing occasionally in 2006, but not so much. You'd send a PDF, wouldn't you? Attach it to your email. You sort of blew it at the end there, Cliff. I hate to say it. And so the rest of it is just sort of talking about how sometimes we watch and wonder, has Christmas lost its touch? Can a world beyond the money be worth that much? And he talks about Christmas, really. We'll have a first night, star bright, child of light, so right, 21st century Christmas. We got a magic morn, tree adorn, child is born, safe and warm, 21st century Christmas. The problem I've got with this song is, it doesn't feel that Christmassy. They could have gone a bit heavier on the chimes or the jingle bells in the background. I just feel like it's not a Christmas-sounding song, even though it's about Christmas. When it was released, it was successful, and it got to number two on the chart. That was the 23rd of December 2006. Unfortunately, he was up against one of the X Factor winners. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the X Factor, it's a lot like American Idol in the UK, and they'd always release their debut single from the show. The winner would, it was the winner's single, they'd release it to be the Christmas number one, and it'd get released the week before. And for most of the first 10 years of the X Factor, it would always be a Christmas number one for the X Factor winner. This year, he was up against Leona Lewis. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Leona Lewis. This was her number one that year. She's an incredible singer, and he really didn't stand a chance. Now, he did release this on the 11th of December, so he had a couple of weeks before Christmas. Sadly, it wasn't enough, and he only got to number two. However, he did get to number one on the UK physical chart. So sales of the single on vinyl or CD, actually, he had the most of those, but he didn't get the number one, you know, when you include downloads and stuff like that. So, yeah, and that was the closest he got in the noughties. He did get a number three a few years later, and then after that he didn't really trouble the top 10. And since then, in the 2010s, he didn't really trouble the top of the charts, and since the 2020 he's not had a top 40 hit, I don't think. He's actually got two Christmas albums. The first one was released in 1991. It was called Together with Cliff at Christmas. And then in 2003 he released Cliff at Christmas. Yeah, if you want to check him out, do so. I won't lie to you, I was never a massive fan of Cliff Richard. I liked a few of his songs, but he was never on the cutting edge. He was never particularly cool, especially not since I was alive. Maybe in the 50s and 60s he might have been. I don't think he was, though. But he had the success. My mum always liked him. You know, they've been to see him a couple of times live, I think, actually. She dragged my dad along. I bet he loved that. Anyway, that is this episode's Christmas Not So Classic. Often I talk about a song that I wish was a classic. This one, I don't really care. I don't think it deserves to be a classic. It's nah. But there you go. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Okay, I'm going to just play the clip. This is Bob Baker doing his Do You Hear What I Hear?
Hey, it's Bob Baker, the self-appointed barman, here with a little advice. When you read about the evils of drinking, I trust that you will come to your senses, and please do the right thing. Stop reading. Now, this message is right on point with today's Do You Hear What I Hear? And I'm hoping that by the end of this segment, you won't be pissed. Or maybe you'll want to be. For you see, getting pissed at the holidays can mean very different things, whether you're at home or across the pond. I will use some relevant Christmas movie examples to help to illustrate the different meanings. In America, when we get pissed, it is the equivalent of Clark Griswold's classic meltdown in Christmas Vacation. There is anger, yelling, maybe even some cursing. And this can be because of your freeloading family members, or those annoying yuppie neighbors, or maybe even a disappointing Christmas bonus. Whatever. You are furious. So how does this relate back to getting pissed in England? It's not like getting mad at an American president for flirting with your staff, or at your husband for buying you a CD instead of a bracelet like his girlfriend. That is American pissed. What it means in the UK is that you are happily and enthusiastically drunk. Like the Santa at the beginning of Miracle on 34th Street. He is rightly pissed, English style. He's filled with the cause of and the solution to all of life's problems. Alcohol. Make sense? See, it's clear as vodka. Cheers and happy Christmas.
I want to say a massive thank you again to Bob for sending that through. I think he does a great job with that segment. I really do. And I think it's a credit to the show. So, yeah, in fact, I'm sure a lot of you think it's the best part of the show. And, well, you're right. Yes, it is. It is. Good work, Bob. You stole the show. Now it's time for this. Every Sunday morning, I get up early with the girls and I take them to the car boot sale. I say every Sunday morning. It only runs from like April, I think it is, till October time. Is it October? Late September. And if it's raining, it's not on. Anyway, if you don't know what a car boot sale is, I don't know if they have them in your country. What it is in a field, everyone just sells their old stuff out of the back of their car boot. You'd call it the trunk if you're in the States, or you'd call it the boot if you speak English. So I take the girls along there and we buy stuff, normally tat, and my wife loves it when I come home with bags and stuff. We get a lot of books though, books are always good. Just as an aside, this has got nothing to do with Christmas, but I just want to play it anyway. Years ago, there was a song came out called Car Boot Sale. I actually bought this as a single. Listen to this. Car boot sale, car boot sale, car boot sale, and a car boot sale. That has got nothing to do with this segment. I just wanted to play the car boot sale song for you. It goes on a bit like talking about what he's selling at the car boot sale. It's by a guy called Bill. If you want to look it up, it's on YouTube. I'm not going to put a link on Facebook. It's not Christmas related, but you might get a kick out of it. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we're at the car boot sale and I saw this box, right? And it's still in the cling film, right? The Festive Game and Quiz Collection. And it's Christmas related quiz. That's what it is, in a box. And I said to the guy, how much do you want for that? And I think he wanted a quid. And I thought, that's pretty good, because I reckon something like that, you'd probably be looking at about £6. And it was brand new, so I was happy with that. So I've bought myself this festive quiz, and what I'm going to do now, this is my new segment. I'm doing it every episode. I don't think it's going to take us all the way up to Christmas. I'm sorry to say that, boys and girls. We're going to run out of questions. There are 100 quiz questions in here, plus there's also a Hum That Tune section. It's a bit of a cop-out, actually, because it's also got 100 general knowledge quiz questions and 50 Hum That Tunes that aren't Christmas songs. So I thought that was a little bit cheeky. So what it means is half of what's in the box is festive. The other half is just stuff. So what I'm going to do is each episode, I'm going to give you 10 questions and then I'm going to give you 5 songs. And it's going to be easy, although some of the questions are a bit tricky, but the Hum That Tune bit is very easy. But I just thought it'd be a bit of fun. We'll do it each episode and you can enjoy it or not. That's your choice. If you want to be like that, be like that. So here we go. Without any further ado, I'm going to give you 10 questions. And then I'm going to give you 5. So I've already said that, haven't I? I'm just repeating myself now. Shall I just get on with it? Question number 1. At which store does... So what we'll do, right, is I'm going to do all 10 questions. Then I'm going to do the answers. And that's it. So I'm suggesting you write it down. Okay, we've been through this before when I used to do the movie quiz. I won't lie to you, kids. The movie quiz always took a lot of research in that. This is a lot quicker for me to do it this way. And I thought it's a nice little short segment we can do every episode just to get yourself involved, you know, feel like you actually achieved something. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, right. So, question about... Oh, what you could do is you could keep a running tally each week of what you score. And then, like, in 10 episodes time, you could work out how many you scored out of 150. Or not. Again, you know, live your life, you know, where you want to. Right. Are you ready? Stop interrupting. I'm a quiz master. Here it comes. Question number 1. At which store does Buddy the Elf work at in the film Elf? Question number 2. In Frosty the Snowman, what are Frosty's last words? I think that's the song. I don't know about the TV special. Who stars as Clark Griswold's son in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Clark Griswold's son. That was question number 3. Question number 4. On Christmas Eve, what is traditionally left out for Father Christmas's reindeer? Question number 5. Which Christmas film features the character Henry F. Potter? Question number 6. What alcoholic spirit is traditionally used to make eggnog? Question number 7. According to the carol, which king looked out on the Feast of Stephen? I helped a bit there, didn't I? Yeah, gave you a bit of a clue. And question number 8. Which saint's day falls on the 26th of December? Question number 9. In which country does Dushka Moroz bring presents to good children? Dushka Moroz. And question number 10. How many points does a snowflake have? I don't think that question is about how many points did the snowflake score in this quiz. I don't think that is it. I think it's referring to how many... You know what I mean. I'm being silly. Okay, here come the 5 Hum That tunes. Are you ready? I don't care if you're ready. I'm doing it anyway. Here we go. I'm going to hum it, literally, okay? There's no doo-doo-doos, it's a humming. Here we go. That's all you're getting. That was number 1. Number 2. That's number 2. This is number 3. Number 4. And that's all you get. That's number 5. Okay, here we go. Here come the answers. Most of those were pretty easy, especially the songs, weren't they? But, you know, who cares? Right, here we go. Question number 1. What store does Buddy the Elf work at? Do you know what? I wouldn't have got this, I don't think. It's Gimbals. I should have known that. You know, if you say Gimbals, oh yeah, of course it is. But I don't think I would have got that. Question number 2. Frosty's last words were, "I'll be back again someday." I don't know if I would have got that one either. I won't lie to you. I know the song. I don't know. Question number 3. Who stars as Clark Griswold's son in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? It was Johnny Galecki, who was in The Big Bang Theory. And also in Roseanne as well, in the early days. He went out with Darlene, yeah. Question number 4. What is traditionally left out for Father Christmas's reindeer? Yeah, that was a carrot. I think we all knew that one. Question number 5, which Christmas film features the character Henry F. Potter? I hate to admit it, a bit embarrassing really, but I don't know if I would have got this because I just know him as Mr. Potter. It's a Wonderful Life, but I don't know if I would have got it. I can't, because I just read it and I saw the answer underneath. So, okay, there you go. Question number 5, what alcoholic spirit is traditionally used to make eggnog is rum. I knew that one because I love rum. Question number 7, according to the carol, which king looked out on the Feast of Stephen? Well, it was good King Wenceslas. Now, question number 8 connects to that because it's which saint's day falls on the 26th of December? That is St. Stephen's Day. The Feast of Stephen is the 26th of December. I don't know if you knew that. I did. Question number 9, in which country does Dushka Moroz bring presents to good children? That's Russia. And question number 10, this is interesting, right? Because this is, how many points does a snowflake have? The answer is, of course, 6. We should all know that. We all learned that at school, I'm sure. These cards, right, have got pictures of snowflakes on them. Okay, the cards with the questions on, right? However, these snowflakes have 8 points. Explain that to me if you can. You can't explain it. It's inexplicable. Right. So the song ones were really easy, but we'll just rush through them anyway. Number 1 was Silver Bells. Number 2 was Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Number 3 is Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. Number 4 was Walking in the Air. That might have been a bit trickier for some of you. I don't know if that's a big classic overseas. Massive classic in the UK. I should have said that at the start, actually. Some of these quiz questions, I noticed, are UK orientated. So it might be the same situation with some of these songs. If you didn't know Walking in the Air, it's from the Christmas special, The Snowman. But in the UK, it is a huge Christmas hit that you'll hear every year at Christmas. And the final one was, of course, Winter Wonderland. So that was your 15 questions for this week. I hope you got them all right. If you didn't, I don't care. I'm not going to judge you on it. I'm not going to say you're a bad person for getting a few questions wrong. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm quite relaxed about these things. But, if you want to send in, let us know what you scored, you can. If you don't, I don't give a monkeys. Do what you've got to do. Crikey. You don't come here for life advice. You come here to be entertained. And I hope that's what I'm doing. I doubt it. I doubt it very much. But I'm giving it my best shot. And at the end of the day, you know I love you. So we've got that, haven't we? We've got that working for us. Right. That's the quiz. I'm going to have to get a jingle for the blooming quiz now, aren't I? A blooming jingle. I've got to sort that out. Crikey. Yeah, so now it's time for this. This is another segment that I've always loved. I really do. And I've got a special guest in to do it, and I'll just play the clip for you now. Okay, so boys and girls, I have a special guest this episode. I have Mike Westfall from the Advent Calendar House podcast, and he's going to tell us about how he found out the truth about Santa Claus. Off you go, Mike.
Jack, I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much. I don't have much of a story. I found out about Santa Claus when I found out about the Easter Bunny. I found out about the Easter Bunny first. My parents broke that news to me when I was 9 years old.
With what?
They kind of sat me. I was 9 years old.
You believed it? I believed in the Easter Bunny till I was, I don't know, 6 or 7. And I remember talking to my parents saying, yeah, of course the Easter Bunny's not real, but Santa Claus is real. I remember that conversation. 9?
I was a very gullible child. Yeah, 9.
Wow. God, I'd love it if my girls lasted that long with the Easter Bunny. I can't see that happening, but you never know. Anyway, sorry, carry on with your story. Sorry.
That's honestly the whole story.
What? Did they tell you? Did they say?
I guess they just decided we better let them know now. I don't remember really the details behind it. Just they sat me down one day and broke the truth to me.
Well, they said there's no Easter Bunny. And did you just twig that there's no Santa? Or was it? And then they said, and we got some more news. You're going to love this. No Santa either. Yeah, wrestling's fake.
Yeah, that's about the time I figured out that too. No, oh, I think I held out a little longer for wrestling. I think I was in my early teens before I'd be like, wait a minute, Undertaker's not really an actually dead guy.
So that was it. They actually sat you down. It was like an intervention.
Pretty much. That's how I remember it.
It was the whole family there. Everyone's there. And they explained to you.
No, because I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest child.
What? Why did they? What? So what? What about your siblings? Did they say don't tell your brother and sister or whatever?
Yeah, that must have been it. That must have been like, listen, you can't tell. You got to keep it quiet.
Why did they have to tell you then?
I don't know. No idea. I guess
did
they just decided that 9 was the kid. No. They're faking it well.
Yeah. I can't ever see me doing that. I think I'm going to keep trying until my daughters are in their 20s. I'll be like, no, there is a Santa Claus. I don't care what you think.
My oldest is 11 and still hanging in there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. 11. Wow.
I'm as surprised as you are, to be honest.
Is that a boy or a girl?
She's a girl.
Do you think she sort of knows, but she doesn't want you to know that she knows?
You know, she might. She's very smart.
Okay. Well, if she's very smart, then of course she knows.
Then there it is. Trying to make me happy.
That's what Christmas is all about.
It really is.
That's it. That's your story.
That's
your parents ruined Christmas for you.
They sure did. They ruined Christmas by ruining Easter.
Well, there you go. Well, thanks very much then, Mike. Tell everyone about your show.
My show runs in July and December. It's called the Advent Calendar House. It's my salute to all holiday specials, but mostly the Christmas ones. We talk about Christmas TV episodes and specials every other day in July and December, and you can find that at adventcalendar.house. And Jack's on an episode about the Jetsons and a Jetson Christmas Carol.
That's right. I am.
And it was so much fun. Glad to have you on. Thank you for having me.
No, it was a pleasure. So there we go, kids. Check out his podcast. It's fantastic. And what's cool is it's been going since 2017, which means there's loads of back episodes for you to listen to. So there's loads on there. So seriously, check out the Advent Calendar House. I know you'll enjoy it because I love it. And Mike actually puts in a lot of research for what he does as well, unlike my podcast, which is all done on the fly.
See, but you can work on the fly better than I can.
Ah, you. Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you.
I want to say a massive thank you again to Mike for recording that for us. Like he said, his show comes out in December and July, and this episode you're listening to now came out on the 3rd of July, so his show would have just started up again for July. Go out there and listen to the new episodes. I'll be on his show, I think it's the 17th of July, he said, so that's a couple of weeks away. I'm really looking forward to listening to it, because I had such fun chatting to him, and I'm just looking forward to it. It was a while ago now, a month or so, a couple of months ago, so I'm really looking forward to hearing our conversation again, and I hope you do too, as well. So, yeah, thanks again, Mike, and now it's time for this. What the Dickens? Okay, boys and girls, it's everyone's favourite segment, and this week I've got four little bits I'm going to talk about, very short bits they are, but they're just a few bits I wanted to talk about, and they are all from the same clip that describes Scrooge.
The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice. A frosty rime was on his head and on his eyebrows and his wiry chin. He carried his own low temperature always about with him. He iced his office in the dog days and didn't thaw it 1 degree at Christmas. External heat and cold had little influence on Scrooge. No warmth could warm, no wintry weather chill him. No wind that blew was bitterer than he. No falling snow was more intent upon its purpose. No pelting rain less open to entreaty. Foul weather didn't know where to have him. The heaviest rain and snow and hail and sleet could boast of the advantage over him only in one respect. They often came down handsomely, and Scrooge never did. Nobody ever stopped him in the street to say with gladsome looks, "My dear Scrooge, how are you? When will you come and see me?" No beggars implored him to bestow a trifle. No children asked him what it was o'clock. No man or woman ever once in all his life inquired the way to such and such a place of Scrooge. Even the blind men's dogs appeared to know him, and when they saw him coming on, would tug their owners into doorways and up courts, and then would wag their tails as though they said, "No eye at all is better than an evil eye, dark master." But what did Scrooge care? It was the very thing he liked. To edge his way along the crowded paths of life, warning all human sympathy to keep its distance, was what the knowing ones call nuts to Scrooge.
I know that's quite a long clip, but there's a few bits there I want to get to. Now, the first one of those is where it says, they often came down handsomely and Scrooge never did. Now, to come down often refers to the weather, but it also is a slang term, and it means to lay money down. So actually in the book, the term come down is actually in inverted commas. Now, what's interesting about this one is it's a bit of a pun. So it says the heaviest rain and snow and hail and sleet could boast of the advantage over him in only one respect. They often came down handsomely, meaning the rain and snow would come down heavily on him. But Scrooge never did. And what that means is Scrooge never laid any money down. So it's a real clever pun, that is. When Dickens did his readings, he travelled over to the States to do a lot of his readings, and he was a little bit concerned that this joke wouldn't actually play well in the States. But apparently his first public reading was in Buffalo. That was March the 13th, 1968. And from the Buffalo Commercial Advertiser, it says, "The applause broke forth from all parts of the house." So that's a good sign that, you know, the slang did travel. And it's a very clever turn of phrase that I really didn't get up until reading this glossary. So that's why it says, come down. Now, the next one I want to get to is just a single word, and it's the word rhyme. Now it says, a frosty rhyme was on his head and on his eyebrows and his wiry chin. Now, I won't lie to you kids, this is just one of those words that I was just reading through the book thinking, oh, I don't know what that means, and just carry on. And it wouldn't even register that I didn't know what it meant. It was just, it's an old book, I don't understand all the words, I just carry on through it. So I've looked it up, and rhyme is a type of frost. Now this is spelled R-I-M-E. So rime is a type of frost, is known as hoarfrost or frozen mist. And this refers both to the fact that Scrooge has got white hair and also that he's very cold of spirit. So yeah, the word rhyme, now you know. I don't know if you'll ever use it. Also, it's used in aviation to describe the ice that can go on the wings of planes sometimes. So yeah, there you go, that's rhyme. Now the next one is the dog days. And it says, he carried his own low temperature always about with him. He iced his office in the dog days and didn't thaw it 1 degree at Christmas. So literally, it's just talking about how his office was cold all year round because he was in it. But the dog days, you might not know, the dog days refers to July the 3rd to August the 11th, because those are often the hottest days of the year when the dog star Sirius rises and sets with the sun. And people used to believe that it would add its heat to the weather. And popular belief often states that dogs go mad at this season. The dog star is Sirius, and it's part of the Canis Majoris star constellation, and I read somewhere that it's named that way because it's like a dog following on the heels of Orion, the hunter. Now, I don't know how true that is. I read a few things about it, and it was really interesting about the star Sirius, but that's what it refers to, the dog days. It's the hottest days of summer, so if anyone talks about the dog days, you know what they're talking about. Now, the final one I want to mention is one that always confused me a little bit. And this is what it says. It says, to edge his way along the crowded paths of life, warning all human sympathy to keep its distance, was what the knowing ones called nuts to Scrooge. And nuts there is in inverted commas. Now, I always, nuts, if you say something's nuts, it means crazy these days. But now there's also another term that you might be familiar with, a very English term, the dog's bollocks. And if something is great, you say it's the dog's bollocks. Also, you might say the bee's knees or the cat's whiskers. Now, interestingly, the dog's bollocks, when I was in Australia, I was very young, I was about 18. I remember people used to refer to stuff as bollocks, meaning it was good. So they got rid of the dog's bit. They just say, oh, it's bollocks, man, it's bollocks. Now, in the UK, the dog's bollocks was also... Sorry, I keep saying bollocks. Don't be upset. It's just a term. Don't let it bother you. In the UK, the dog's bollocks would often be changed to the mutt's nuts, which is exactly the same. You know, a mutt is a dog and your nuts are your bollocks. So some people would say, ah, it's the nuts, man, meaning it's the mutt's nuts, it's the dog's bollocks. Now, I'm pretty sure that's a modern thing, but in the book, when Dickens is saying this was nuts to Scrooge, means it was the dog's bollocks to Scrooge. It's exactly what he wanted. He wanted people to keep their distance. So although when I used to read it thinking it meant that Scrooge thought it was crazy, it doesn't mean that at all. It actually means this is a good thing. Now, I guess over time that phrase fell out as meaning a good thing to meaning a crazy thing. But, you know, with people saying the mutt's nuts or just it was the nuts, man, it's come back again, I guess. It's gone full circle. So that is what it means when it says, nuts to Scrooge. So there we go. Those are the four I wanted to cover this week. I hope you've learnt a little something there. I know I did when studying this. So, yeah, now let's move on. Well, boys and girls, I'm sorry to say I haven't got a recommendation this week. I have been listening to a couple of new podcasts, but I haven't got into them yet. So maybe next episode I'll talk about those. But right now, I don't have anything to... I'll recommend one thing, right? Don't catch any tummy bugs off your daughters, because it's not fun. Even though I was sort of still working, I had a massive belly ache most of one of the days. Luckily, it was a half day, and I finished early, and then just went and laid in my bed whinging all afternoon. And I can tell you for a fact, the wife loved that. But I don't recommend that to anyone. So this week's recommendation is, don't get a tummy bug from your daughters. So yeah, that's the end of the episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Please do get in touch. Massive thank you to Mike Westphal. Another massive thank you to Bob Baker. Please send me your stories so I can do less research and rely more on you for the content. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. It's been a real pleasure. You know what? Even though I was feeling ill, I really still wanted to do the podcast because I really do enjoy this and I really enjoy the feedback that I get from you guys. So please do get in touch, or don't. Again, as I've said before, it's your life. Live it the way you want to live it. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. I can't express that enough. You're beautiful. Truly beautiful. Merry Christmas.